This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. Every year, Goodwill, Michiana, here in Northwest Indiana, holds what is called a military veteran stand down. And it's very important to have this opportunity to help veterans and their families who are serving not only in the military at the time, or they may be veterans, as the name implies, to have a veteran stand down. To tell us more about the event coming up, which is Friday from 4 p.m. until 7 p.m. in LaPorte, we have with us to talk about it Jill Powers, who is the Veterans and the Military Families Program Manager with Goodwill Michiana. And Jill, thank you for joining us on Regionally Speaking today.
Well, thanks for having me, Chris.
If you will explain for folks that are not familiar what a stand-down is, how stand-downs got created, and in turn, the importance of having such an opportunity, even though it's not wartime, as I know that they were first established a long time ago, but they have in the 21st century.
Sure. So, as you said, stand-downs were created during wartime to let the soldiers and get off the battlefield, get some rest and better food, medical attention, dental care and such. When the Vietnam War ended, a couple of veterans out in California decided that the large amount of homeless veterans were also battling the challenges of what being homeless presents, and created the stand downs as we know them today. So our goal with our stand downs is definitely to help veterans who are currently experiencing homelessness or on the verge of a housing crisis. But having said that, our stand downs are for any veteran, anyone who is currently serving in the military, to just come and see what their community has to offer for them.
I guess the idea of taking care of one's hygiene and enjoying a nice warm meal and getting any medical or dental care, or just sharing some camaraderie with your friends and family members in what you can definitely call a safe environment is pretty important. And obviously, even though it's not in the military per se, it is a topic that certainly veterans and their families need to take advantage of.
Yes, that is very true.
In the particulars here about the LaPorte Military Veteran Stand Down, which is coming up on Friday, August 20th, starting at 4 p.m. until 7 p.m., will you tell us a little bit more about the setup, where it's going to be, how things have been set up, so everyone's ready for the Veteran Stand Down later?
So at this point, veterans are able to pre-register if they would like. They can reach out to me, and we can help get that registration complete. We will have registration open 30 minutes prior to the start of the event. Veterans, when they arrive at the fairgrounds, will be directed by volunteers of where to park. They will stay out in the parking area and complete registration if they did not pre-register, or they'll be able to check in at our pre-registration table at that time. Once we have opening ceremonies, veterans will come through the main entrance, I believe it is, and we will have vendors set up there. They'll be able to just go along the vendors and speak with them in person. This is not a drive-through as it was last year. Our
right.
vendors are back in person and find out what services they offer to veterans, and it may be something they need and it may not, but it might be something they need in the future. Once they're done with that, they're welcome to enjoy the meal that is being provided by the country caterers. And then they can also bring their completed card that the vendors will stamp as they go through it to the giveaway area and gain access to a variety of different clothing items, hygiene products, boots. We have just a lot of stuff.
Yeah. There are quite a few community partners that are participating in this LaPorte Military Veteran Stand Down. And you mentioned one of them, the Country Caterers, are going to offer some great food to eat. But there are a lot of other vendors and organizations that are going to be available, too, to help veterans out with various services. Will you go through the list and explain what they're going to be doing?
Sure. So we're going to have several employers on site. Work One of Northwest Indiana will be represented. Goodwill is actually going to be there. We are also doing quite a bit of hiring We're going to have a variety of insurance companies, including Humana, MedWise, Hicks Chiropractic Center will be there doing spinal, I don't believe it's adjustments, it's just spinal screening.
Right.
Hancock Mortgage will be there to, veterans will be able to talk to him about VA loans and other mortgage questions that they may have. Four Winds will be there. Purdue Polytechnic Institute out of South Bend, they will be there to discuss educational opportunities they have. The VA from Fort Wayne will be there. I believe we will have some VA representatives from Chicago as well. Our Vet Center, where counseling for combat vets is available, will also be there, along with a lot of other agencies.
I know that you have some institutions of higher education there. You're going to, besides Purdue Polytechnic Institute in South Bend, you're going to have representatives from Indiana Wesleyan University there, too. So I would imagine that you'll probably have them, and you'll have maybe even some other representatives here in Northwest Indiana from, say, from IU Northwest and probably from Purdue Northwest, too, I would imagine.
Well, I hope. I definitely hope that we'll get them there, yes.
That's great. We talk about this kind of an opportunity for veterans in particular, but we talk about their families that they can get some benefit out of the veteran stand down as well. And I understand that Geminis Early Learning is one of the community partners this year that's helping out. Are they going to be there to help veterans, wives and families members if they need help?
Yes, that is correct. They are a new partner of ours this year.
That's great. That's great. I've been having to rely last year on just a drive-through event, unfortunately, because we are at the height of the pandemic. More people have gotten their vaccinations now. They're able to get out and do more things. And so that's why this year's event coming up on Friday the 20th is going to be an in-person event for change. Will you tell us at least how things went for last year's a very special pandemic event?
You know, it was a great turnout last year. We had over 100 veterans come through, even as the drive-through, and everybody, I received a lot of positive feedback from volunteers, from the veterans, very appreciative that during, the pandemic in the height of its, glory there was, that we were able to get people out there and still get our veterans the assistance that they needed.
Now, obviously, Jill, you don't do all of this alone. You may be responsible because you're in charge of the program, to be sure, but I'm sure you have a number of folks that help you out from Goodwill Michiana to get this thing going, to get it set up, certainly, and to help put the event underway on Friday.
Oh, absolutely. I have I work with a lot of our internal employees who come over and volunteer, help do things behind the scenes leading up, and then help set up and manage the event. And then we also have a variety of community volunteers, families that just want to be able to give back to our veterans who come over and help us out as well.
That's great to hear. Now, if you will, again, Jill, go through the list of things that veterans, family members need to do if they'd like to be able to take advantage of the LaPorte Military Veterans Stand Down coming up on Friday the 20th.
Sure. They can, veterans, military family members can go ahead and pre-register if they would like. They can do that by contacting me at 574-400-5487. And if they're not able to pre-register, not sure if they're going to be able to attend and then decide that they will be able to, they could just come to the fairgrounds and we will have people on site doing on-site registration starting probably about 3:30 that day.
That's great. Jill Powers is with the Michiana Services. I should say the Goodwill Services in Michiana. They're based out of South Bend, but they are coming to LaPorte to help out with this the annual Veterans Resource Network's community event, which is entitled the Military Veterans Stand Down, coming up Friday, August 20th. It'll be from 4 until 7 p.m., and it'll be held in the LaPorte County Fairgrounds, which, of course, is along State Road 2 in LaPorte. And, Jill, thank you very much for spending time going over the event. We hope it's like last year. year, even though it was just a drive-through event, that this year's in-person event will go as well as it has in the past, and hopefully we'll have COVID-19 not get in the way this time around either. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
There's been a report put together by the Indiana Commission for Higher Education and Foster Success in looking into public colleges and universities to find out how campuses are helping support students who may face housing and food insecurity. That report has come out recently. And to tell us more about it, we have the president and CEO of Foster Success, Dr. Maggie Stevens, with us. And Dr. Stevens, thank you for joining us on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Thanks for making time to have this conversation, Chris.
Will you give us an idea of how the idea of approaching colleges and universities that are publicly supported here in Indiana came about to find out more about the campuses and what kind of activities they have to help their students?
Absolutely. So Foster Success, as you know, we support teens and young adults across the state of Indiana who are transitioning out of foster care, aging out of foster care. And we know that specifically when we talk about these young adults that we work with at Foster Success, we find significant rates of housing and food insecurity. So, for example, nationally, 25% of individuals who age out of foster care experience homelessness within 2 years of leaving the foster care system. Here in Indiana, we surveyed our young people that we work with across the state, and over the past year, 20% of those individuals reported that they had some experiences with housing instability over the past year. But we also knew that this challenge isn't unique to just the students that we're working with as they age out of foster care, that housing and food insecurity and really meeting some of the basic needs that allow college students to focus on their education is pervasive. And so we had an opportunity over the past year to partner with the Commission for Higher Education with some support from the United Way of Central Indiana and really dig into this conversation and identifying what resources are available for these students to minimize the impact of housing and food and other basic needs on campuses and in their college experience.
How many publicly supported colleges and universities here in Indiana did you all reach out to, and how many responded to the survey?
So we reached out to all of the public institutions, every regional campus, four-year, two-year residential commuter. And for the purposes of the data analysis, we heard back from 27 campuses. And so a good percentage or the majority of the campuses. Wonderfully enough, once we sent the draft report out to get some feedback, the campuses whose data might not be included in the front part of the report that really does the data analysis did provide information for us for the appendices. And one of the great pieces of this report are the profiles at the back of it that highlight what resources are available on each of our public institutions across the state to support students in their time of need and meeting these basic needs. Mm-hmm.
Did you find in responding to the report that you had better luck getting information from the larger publicly supported colleges and universities like IU and Purdue, and maybe it didn't get quite as much information back from the smaller places like, just for example, Bethel College or Hanover College, the ones that are smaller campuses to begin with?
So for the purposes of this report and this go around with the data collection, we focus specifically on our public colleges and universities.
Right.
So that wouldn't include schools like Bethel and Hanover because they're independent private colleges.
I see.
And so they weren't included in this. As far as size for our public institutions, you know, I think it was really across the board. So again, we heard from some of our, you know, big residential 4 years, and we heard from some of the smaller regional Ivy Tech campuses as well.
Now, in your responses that you received from the campuses, what were some of the things that you had learned about as far as whether students that were having problems either in finding housing or getting enough to eat so they could properly act in school to be able to learn properly? What did you learn?
So we found 76% of the campuses who responded, so, you know, an overwhelming majority, do have some type of food pantry on campus to meet needs. And many of them have minimal to no restrictions regarding how frequently a student can come, access resources, get food, get some basic needs. So that's wonderful in meeting that. But on the other side, when we look at our residential campuses, we had 9 residential campuses respond to us. And while 2/3 of them provide housing for students in the summer, in between, the traditional academic year and different situations, only 1/3 of those campuses provide winter break housing for all students. So that time when the first semester ends in the middle of December to the middle of January over the winter holidays, a lot of students are, looking for places to go and don't have that security or that option to stay on campus. And so I think that's a big gap that we want to work to close for students so that they can have stable housing even through the winter time.
Did you find in going over the data and getting the responses back that there were some campuses that were maybe better equipped for dealing with the problems that students have, especially in between semesters, but in particular in trying to find a food kitchen or some kind of place that will provide extra food if they need it?
Yeah, like I said, about 3/4 of the campuses do have some type of on-campus food resource. IU Bloomington talks a lot about their campus kitchen and what they're able to provide for students to really meet the needs of students, especially during breaks when there's not as many resources on campus. So that would be one example, I would say. As you look up in your community, Purdue Northwest was one of 4 campuses that identified the fact that they keep housing available for students who report that they're experiencing homelessness to help them meet that most immediate need and get them connected to some longer-term solutions.
I know that you discovered and put together in the report some very interesting information about housing insecurity. You mentioned here, first off, about Purdue University Northwest having a campus housing open for students that need the help. Are there any other areas that you found that need to be improved upon that you hope that the Commission for Higher Education will help?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there are a handful of campuses that are doing this work and providing this space, and they're all doing, a little bit of something. What we really identified through this study is a need for, probably some more robust data from our students to better understand the actual need. What this report does and does well is identify what resources campuses are providing and how, and campuses reported to us that they track use of resources, but that doesn't get to the underlying issue of what the real need is there. And so that's a piece that we're hoping that, through Foster Success, through the Commission for Higher Education and other organizations, we can dig a little bit more deeply into with the campuses to understand need. And then I think the second piece of that is across the board, we all just want to continue to increase awareness for students that these support programs, support resources are there. And whether that's, increased communication, one campus talked about faculty members including information on course syllabi about how to access support if you're in need of basic needs, including food, housing, transportation, et cetera. And so our goal is really hoping to get this information out there and possibly, create a little bit of positive peer pressure and inspire campuses to try to do some new things based on what they read their peers are doing across the state.
Now, Dr. Stevens, is there anything that's come out of this report and the study that came together to be able to put the report out that you would like to see Foster Success and the Indiana Commission for Higher Education get together on in the future?
I think we'll continue to grow, what we've done in this first round of data collection. I have no doubt that there'll be a need to continue to collect this information. And then related to that, Foster Success is simultaneously collecting additional information about specific programs and supports for students who are aging out of foster care. And so we hope that in the next few months we'll have some additional data and reporting to share about those programs and supports for our young adults who are aging out of foster care as well. And then, coupled with that, we just want to continue to increase awareness both across campuses so that they all can continue to do more and amongst our college students so they know what is available to them as they move through their college experience.
That's wonderful. Dr. Maggie Stevens is the president and CEO of Foster Success, and Foster Success has been partnering with the Indiana Commission for Higher Education in looking into what Indiana public colleges and universities are doing and helping support students that may have housing and food insecurity. And Dr. Stevens, thank you for the information and hope to hear back from you again soon.
Well, Wonderful. Thank you, Chris.
And that's it for Regionally Speaking for today. I'm Chris Nolte. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back with you tomorrow.